Sometimes when you're, with the least, when you have a lesser amount of people, you can go further. You can get into things deeper, amen? You can get into it a little bit more because there's less obstacles, amen? You know, in any given service, if you have a service where there's a lot of people and half of those people aren't hungry, they're just there out of obligation or whatever, then, it's harder to move into the things that God has. But when people come hungry, praise God, even if you have fewer people, the Spirit moves, because God said that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. He met us here tonight. Praise the Lord. And aren't you glad? I said, aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a good night tonight. Tonight, the message I'm preaching is called Speak Life. Hallelujah. You know, I know we've heard this kind of teaching before. I've preached similar messages before. I know Pastor Tim has preached these messages many times. But you know, the thing is what we're going to hear tonight is something that you can't ever hear enough of. You know, in any given time, in any given place, when I'm talking to people, when I'm talking to Christians, you know, I often want to, you know, they'll say something, I often want to jump out at them and say, wait, don't say that. Don't say that. Because when sometimes people, their mouths get ahead of their hearts, amen? And they'll speak things that just aren't so. They'll speak things that aren't the truth. They'll speak what they're feeling. They'll speak what they're thinking. But they won't speak anything filtered through the Word. And it's important that we filter our speech through the Word, amen? It's important that we filter everything that we say through the Word of God, that we speak as the oracles of God. That's not just for ministers. That, you know, that's written in Scripture for all of our benefits. We need to speak as the oracles of God. When we have a situation arise in life, we need to speak at it. When we have something that we don't, when we see lack in our life, whether it's this, whether it's lack of a person, maybe you're believing for someone to come into the church. It doesn't matter what their life looked like, what it looks like now. All you do, what does matter is what you speak. It matters what you believe and what you speak. Are you going to use your faith for that? When you see a situation that in your life that just doesn't seem to be changing, you need to speak right. And see, sometimes, you know, we think the testing period, we'll go through a period of testing and then we'll get revelation of why we're going through what we're going through. And then we'll think, well, surely it's got to end now. And then it doesn't. It seems to press on and press on against you and press on further. But see, the thing is it's staying because you haven't won yet. You see, you don't win until the mountain moves. You don't win until it's over with, until you've got the victory. You don't see somebody in a marathon race or any kind of race for that matter, halfway through the race, and they'll sit there saying, well, you know, I pressed through that first half, and boy, it was pretty good, so where's my ribbon? It doesn't happen that way. See, you only get the ribbon when you cross the finish line. And you only get the ribbon if you cross the finish line with victory. Hallelujah. If you don't cross the finish line in victory, then you ain't getting the ribbon. You ain't getting the trophy or anything else. And you know, that's the same thing the way it works with God, is that we, so many times we give up. And the thing is we tend to, because we live in the day, and we tend to think that, well, you know, this is a day every day. This is a day that I live in. Praise the Lord. And it just seems like the days, you know, a few days go by. You can have trial for a week and feel like it's been a year.
Yeah.
But when you look at it in all honesty and you think about your life, it really hasn't been that long. And it doesn't last that long. And then afterwards, you know, you don't, you know, surely last year in June, you probably went through something, but you probably don't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's the truth of the word. The truth of the word says that I always got hope on the other side. And we really need to, we need to preach more about that. We need to believe more about that, about the victory on the other side. We need to believe in that expectation. We need to have that expectation, that hope that only God gives. Amen. But tonight we're talking about speaking life, and it matters how we speak, because we are only going to have what we speak.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're only going to have what we speak, or we will be full of what we speak. If we speak doubt and unbelief all the time, then that's what we're going to have. We're going to have what those things get us. If we speak lack all the time, then that's what we're going to have. If we speak sadness all the time, that's what we're going to have. If we start speaking about the glory of God, then we'll see the glory of the God. If we start speaking about the power of God, we're going to see the power of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 19:14. Praise the Lord. I love this scripture. You know, they make songs about it, but it's a good scripture just to meditate on. Hallelujah. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You notice the scripture doesn't say let him be acceptable in the world's sight. It doesn't say let it be acceptable in my friend's sight, my grandma's sight, my brother's sight, my wife's sight, my husband's sight, whatever you got, praise the Lord. It says let it be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Your sight, O Lord. See, so many times Christians are speaking things that aren't acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And how do we know that? Because they don't line up with Scripture. It's important that our words line up with Scripture. When we speak Scripture, we're going to have the things that God has provided for us there. The trick in Christianity, and it's a trick of the devil, not a trick of God, but is that people have lost this this idea. They think that God is all-powerful, can do all things. Now, God can do a lot of things, but he is bound by our words. He's bound by our actions. He just is. That's because he set us up to be in control of this life, and he ain't taking it back from us. And therefore, nothing in God is ever going to be automatic. He does have grace, praise the Lord, but even to get grace, you have to receive his son, praise the Lord. Now, he does try to give all avenues, and that's why he encourages people, faithful people, to pray. But you understand, see, we forget that God isn't moving on people that aren't saved. The only time God can do something for somebody who's not saved is if somebody on the earth prays for it.
That's right.
Why? Because he doesn't have dominion on the earth. Yeah. People have dominion on the earth. And what is praying but speaking? It's speaking. It's speaking life.
Wow.
It's speaking the right things. If you're not speaking the right things, if you're not praying the right things, and someone's not getting saved, someone's not getting help. See, God can't just move on anybody. And people have this idea that he can, but he just can't. That's not the way God works.
Right.
Because he didn't set it up that way. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. My strength, hallelujah. Are you relying on God to be your strength? Are you talking about God as your strength or the devil as your foe? As your opposition? Are you talking about the opposition or your strength? See, he didn't say anything about the devil in here. He said, let the words of my mouth be acceptable and the meditation of my heart, what to think about. What on the inside, not just when it's talking about your heart, it's not talking about your mind. You see, you'll have thoughts in your mind that don't line up with the word of God. That's the devil's playground. He's going to throw thoughts at you. But it's different when you have a meditation in your heart. What a meditation of your heart is what you truly believe.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't want what we truly believe to be away from the will of God. Why? Because when what we truly believe, whatever we truly believe will manifest in our speaking.
Yes.
Amen?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. And turn with me to Proverbs 18:20. Glory to God. Proverbs 18:20. You know, and it's funny, as I was preparing this message, and you know, and Corey, I try to prepare a little bit shorter message, but as I was preparing this message, it's just interesting that, you know, I probably could preach 5 messages just on the scriptures I know about this subject. Just on what I know, and that's not even all that's in scripture.
That's right.
Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth.
Wow.
What's the fruit of the mouth? I'll tell you, it's not your breath.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's what you speak. God put the tongue in our mouth for a reason. That tongue, and we're told that tongue is like a rudder of a ship. The Bible tells us in James that it's like a rudder of a ship and that can control us. And if we don't control it right, we're going to get off course.
Yeah.
A man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. What you have is what you say. And what you say is what you're going to have.
That's right.
What you have is what you say. And what you say is what you're going to have.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's the truth. You can speak to, you know, and we're going to see this a little bit more. This is the way God is.
Yeah.
God has what he says. When God created the earth, and we're going to read about this, but when God created the earth, he did it by speaking. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He did it by speaking. He spoke it into existence. Amen?
Yeah.
A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Listen, these are absolutes, these are truths. These don't change. This is exactly the way God intended it. He intended, and we're going to see that here. Why? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Now look at this, verse 21. This is so important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. Those who love doing, those who love speaking, whatever they're speaking, those whose meditations are on the wrong things, they're speaking death, and that death that they speak, it will come to pass. This is why Job suffered all the things that he suffered, because he spoke the wrong things. His kids suffered the things they suffered because they didn't follow God. They spoke the wrong things. You understand? See, the people in the Bible, if even in the Old Testament especially, if they didn't have the truth, if they didn't understand, and they spoke the wrong things, it still applies to them. In Numbers, I think it's 14 or maybe around the 28th verse, I think is where it is. But it says, as you have spoken in my ear, so I will do to you, says the Lord. As you have spoken in my ear, is that the right one? 28, verse 28, Numbers 14, 28. As you have spoken in my ear, so I will do to you. God's listening all the time. He's listening all the time. There's a reason that the Bible says be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Yes. Be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Why are we supposed to be slow to speak? You're supposed to think about what you're saying. And see, so many people just run their mouths without even thinking about what they're saying. And then I used to do this all the time. And I still do probably a little bit, but I used to do it all the time. And I remember one time I called my stepdad because a whole bunch of people were following me home from school. Praise the Lord. And I ran into this guy's house, a stranger's house, because I couldn't outrun these people. And they were gaining on me quick. So I ran in this stranger's house, ran right in the front door. Why? Because I had a whole gang of people coming after me. And he said, it looks like your mouth overloaded your butt again, didn't it? Hallelujah. Well, that's exactly why he didn't say hallelujah, but that's exactly what happened. See, so many times because people, he probably didn't say butt either, but that's besides the point. But you understand that, see, what we speak, if we don't stop and think about what we speak, in that time I don't think I was really doing anything that bad, but they didn't like what I was doing. And see, I didn't think about the fact that they didn't like it. I just said what I said, and it got me into trouble. Amen? Praise the Lord. And see, if we don't, and people say, you know, well, they want to say this, want to say, is it easier to clean up the mess after?
No.
I mean, seriously, I've learned this so many times. It's easier to set it up right the first time. Right. It's easier to get into it right at the beginning than it is to try to clean up the mess afterwards. Cleaning up the mess afterwards is never fun. Nobody ever enjoys it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God.
Right.
Okay. Now we're going to turn, I want you to go with me. To Genesis, and we're going to go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis 1, and we're going to start in verse 3, hallelujah. The beginning of Genesis is such a good place for us to go because it sets us up, it tells us how God intended us to be, amen?
Yes.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He said that, not me, and since the Lord doesn't change, that means that how he intended us to be is how he wanted us to be all along, praise God. Hallelujah. He created us for fellowship. Now let's look at what Genesis 1:3 says. You get there? Find it? Praise God. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. God said, let there be light. There it was. Was he surprised?
No.
He wasn't surprised. He knew when he spoke that he was going to have what he said. Now see, this is a problem. Because people don't understand that they have the same power in their mouths.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to that. But see, that's where people fail is because they don't realize that what they say is actually going to come to pass. Wow. Praise the Lord. Now, if you had the faith of God, it would come to pass instantly. But God has great faith. Amen?
Yeah.
Striving for it. Now, I want you to go down just a couple more scriptures to Genesis 1:6. Praise God. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Man, they got to throw that word in there a lot, doesn't he? Hallelujah. And I love this last part. And it was so. Why? Because God spoke it. Because God spoke it. But did it surprise God? No, he knew when he spoke it. See, child of God, this is something you got to learn. You got to understand that when you speak, it matters. What you say matters. Praise the Lord.
Praise
what you believe matters, but what you say matters. I would say even a little bit more. Praise God. Because generally what you say is what you believe.
Yes.
Now we're going to go on down. We're going to go a little bit further. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:9. Praise the Lord. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. It is so important. I love how, you could preach this message. You could preach this message to all kinds of people. You could share this in all kinds of churches, and they wouldn't necessarily believe what you're saying. But here in the beginning of the Bible, we see he starts off. We're not even into the ninth. We're into not even to the tenth scripture, right? We're into only nine scriptures, and he's already said several times. He's already showed us something. God said, God said, God said, and he also said afterwards, it was so, it was so, it was so. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind. Hallelujah. According to its kind. Do you realize that this was written in a time period that wasn't recent? This was written way before modern technology or modern science, praise the Lord. This was written in a time period where this kind of knowledge wasn't just readily available. The Bible tells us that you are only going to get a certain kind of fruit from a certain kind of fruit. You're only going to get a certain kind of herb from a certain kind of herb. You're only going to get a certain kind of animal from a certain kind of... It told us that back then. This was written thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, and yet they knew that. So simple. Amen? And then in the 1800s, they have a guy, 1850s or whatever I think it was, a guy, Charles Darwin, comes up with this idea that you can get one species to turn into another species. And I love it because people just swallow this. They love this stuff. They swallow it up. But the whole thing is so ridiculous. It's not even funny. When you look at all the different species and you look at how impossible it is, it's just absolutely amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing that smart people believe that stuff. But they do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So where were we? Verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Praise the Lord. How would it be if you started, when you would say something, and you after you said something, maybe you prayed or you said your confession, but afterwards you said, and it was so. That's preaching the word. That's speaking the word over your life. How about doing that? How about the next time you pray to God for someone's salvation and you say, and it was so. When was it so? When I spoke it. So I spoke it before. It's already so. It hasn't manifested yet. That doesn't matter. I spoke it already, and so it was so. Hallelujah. How about we start looking at our life like that? When we start saying that the church is filled, we say, it was so. When we start saying that all the finances we need come in Jesus' name, and it was so. Hallelujah. We just go remind the devil. When the devil comes back to you and he's trying to steal from you what you've confessed, and he's trying to steal what you're believing for, and he's trying to get all up in your stuff, why don't you just look at the devil and say, hey, devil, it was so. When I said it, when I spoke it was so. It happened already. Oh, see, you don't even know. You don't even understand what I'm saying to you. I should preach this in Mayville again. Why? Because people need to understand this. See, oh, so many people out there speaking all kinds of garbage, and it's not lining with the word. And that's why they have the garbage that they have. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was so. Praise the Lord. Now let's go down to verse 14. Then God said, hallelujah. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. This is another thing that I get off on. I really love it. You start looking up in some modern Wikipedia, something like that, and they're talking about, you know, previous time. They don't want to say before Christ anymore. And they don't want to say Anno Domini or whatever it is, A.D. They don't want to say that. What they say is B.C.E., before common era. But you know what I love about that? Is that it's still based in the time period around Christ's life. Yeah, that's right. It's still based in that. See, God set it up this way. He said, Like, he's going to give us the years. He's going to give us the days. He's going to make it all be a certain way and work a certain way. He's going to give us all that. And they try to get away from it with the words, but they can't, because they can't. You can't, even with your words, you can't stop the truth of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen? I just love it. I love the foolishness. God takes the foolishness of the world, how do I want to say this? He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's right. I love that. I love that he does that. I love that he takes things that make no sense and uses them to make all the sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? God does that. He's like, oh, you can come up with all your stuff, but it's written right here.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord.
And
let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. See, sometimes you just need to read the word. Really read the word. Look at what it's saying and start thinking, you know what? It's interesting here. Because they didn't need to necessarily write the word this way.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? He didn't necessarily need to stop at every time. But I have to believe that God did this on purpose. That the Holy Spirit had the men of old write this on purpose this way. That they took a scripture and they first said God said, and then they said it was so right following it.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's not an accident that this is in here. God doesn't just like to talk a lot.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But he's trying to get something over to us, and we're gonna see how this connects to us in a really good way here in a minute.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But it's so awesome to realize that, and it was. So, verse 20, let's go on down to there. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Praise the Lord. And he goes on and tells us all that's going to continue happening. And down in verse 24, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth. Each according to its kind. And it was so. Hallelujah. And this proves my point to what I'm saying. Because, you know, he didn't go through here and name even any of the animals, really. He said cattle, but he just didn't really cover, you know, cattle could be a lot of different kinds of animals. He didn't cover specific animals. But he did think it was necessary to keep saying it was so. And God said. You see what I'm saying? Like there's information we need and there's information we don't need. The information we need is written in Scripture.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get us through. Amen?
That's right.
It was so. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Okay. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, praise God, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In other words, let man have control.
Yeah.
Didn't he say it right there?
Yeah.
God said, let us make man. This is so important here. Let us make man in our image. If he just wanted us to look like him, then he didn't have to go any further. If he just wanted us to look like his image, if he just wanted us to be a photographic representation of God, then that's all he had to do. But he didn't say that. He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Like we are. Like I am. Praise the Lord. He said, let us make man like I am. Hallelujah. When you have, in the if you look up that word likeness in the concordance, it says similitude, just which means just like. Just like it. Praise the Lord. I know some translations say saying the same class of being. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, if you get into studying this out, you find out that we're, you know, we talked about this a little bit last night. My wife's going to preach on it soon, but about the three-part nature of man. We're not just flesh and bones, but we have a mind and we have a spirit. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
But God made us in his image and after, according to his likeness for a reason. And then he gave us dominion. Up until this point, God had dominion. How do we know? Because he was speaking to things and it was happening. Yeah. He was pointing at it and saying, okay, this is what I want over here. This is what I want over here. This is what I want over here. This is how I want it to be. Praise God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, if I'm going to go away and I need somebody to fill my pulpit, you know, I've already set the church up. They don't have to come in and set the church up all over. If I have Reverend Scott come in and preach for me, he didn't have to come into the church and say, okay, we're going to make these rules and we're going to do these things. And we got to build a pulpit and we got to build and put chairs in there. And we got to go out and invite people to come in and do all this. No, all this, it's all set up. Yeah. See, it amazes me that Christians have such a hard time believing that God's going to supply when he shows us right here in the very first few scriptures of the Bible that before he even put us on the earth, before he even raised us up, before he formed us out of the dirt, before he did anything with us, he provided everything that we would ever need and he put it there for us and said, have at it. Praise the Lord. This is our God. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do we keep repeating that? Because he wouldn't have set it up that way unless he intended for it to remain that way. God isn't like humans just trying things out, seeing if they work. You know what I mean? God isn't just saying, well, we'll try this and see if it works. Praise the Lord. That's why when we plant a church, I said this to Pastor Michael, I said this to other people, when you plant a church in the family churches, there is no option of failure. There's no option of failure. We will go and do it until the Lord comes home because first of all, we did it because God said so, and we're not practicing.
That's right.
We're not practicing in Corey. We're not practicing in Mayville. We're not practicing in Jamestown. We weren't practicing in Erie. We're not practicing. We're doing things by the leading of the Lord. Why? Because when we do things according to the leading of the Lord, then they work. And they are continue to work. But see, humans practice so much. They say, well, maybe I'll try a business and see if it works. No, how about getting before God and finding out if that's really what he wants for you? And then knowing that it's going to work by getting into it. See, when you get into whatever you get into, you should be sure that what you're getting into is what God has for you. Because when you're sure that it's what God has for you, then you can be sure that the supply is there. You can be sure that that there'll be purpose there. You can be sure that it'll be effective in what it's doing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God isn't practicing. He was never practicing on humans. He wasn't practicing on people. He didn't practice on the angels. He wasn't practicing on anything. God knew from the beginning exactly what was going to happen. He had purpose, and we need to do things with same purpose. We need to do, and see, this is the whole thing about saying. See, if we watch our mouths, if we do things with purpose, then we will say the right things because we're only going to speak what we purpose to have. We're going to only speak what we purpose to see, praise the Lord, because we want what God has for us. We want to get into what God has already done. Why would we need to recreate it? How foolish would it be for a farmer to go out there in the field and say, well, I got to make some dirt, and so I'm going to use my faith to make some dirt and then make some seeds to plant of some kind. That's foolishness.
Yeah.
Foolish. You wouldn't do that. No. Well, but still people are doing it the same way. Just do it the way God says.
Yeah.
So God set us up. He set us up perfectly. He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, yeah. Not just the way we look. Praise the Lord. And he's talking to himself, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Not just according to the way we look, but he's making us the way God is.
Yeah.
Now, he is not making us God. He is not making us creator of the universe. It does not say that. Praise the Lord. But he is making us in the similitude or in the likeness of him to be able to do the same things that he does. And then he gave us dominion over everything that he created. He said, you have dominion over it. Praise the Lord. How did he give us dominion? Through our mouths.
Through our mouths.
How do we know this? Because you can't go out and wrestle an elephant down. You can't have dominion over an elephant, but you can tame an elephant.
Yeah.
You can teach an elephant to do things according to the way you speak. Praise the Lord. You're not going to go wrestle a lion down. Glory to God. Our dominion is through how we speak and how we operate according to that or in line with that. Amen?
Amen.
So he's given us this dominion. He set us up on the earth with everything that we would need. He's given us this dominion. He said, now follow me. And now we know in the New Testament, because we got something a little bit better, now we have the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of us. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are, I'm going to tell you what right now. I got a church, I'm not going to say full of people, but I got a church where people hear the same message and they don't know the first thing about following the Lord. Why? Because they don't listen to the message. There's people that don't know the first why, because as soon as somebody says something to them, they think, oh, that's a good idea, and I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
Well, what does the word say?
Yeah.
We do this with tithing. We know this about tithing. We talk about tithing, and it's, people still talk people out of it.
Yeah.
You can't not tithe and be blessed by God. You can't do it. You'll never be blessed by God by not tithing. So I don't care what anyone else says. The word tells us that.
Yeah.
Follow the word, not what some idiot next to you said. Yeah, if people next to you are talking to do things opposite of what the word says, they're idiots.
That's right.
Don't listen to them. They're foolish. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Why would you listen to somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about? Did they create the earth?
No.
God created the earth. He told us how it works.
Yeah.
He put us in there to have dominion. He said, there, you go do it.
Yeah.
You go do it, but this is the way you got to do it if you want it to work right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can go out all day long and try to have a cat and a dog make a baby, but it ain't going to happen. You can build a business over it. You say, well, I'm using my faith. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because God didn't design it that way. He said, do it the way I designed and it will work. But you do it the way you designed and it won't work. Now, see, they do crossbreed things. And we understand that. You take if you take all the citrus fruits, all citrus fruits that we have, you know, we're talking about lemons and limes and oranges and tangerines and grapefruits, all these and everything else that we don't. Pomelos, praise the Lord, we love pomelos. All these different citrus fruits, they all came from three originally.
Uh-huh.
Three originally, that's where they came from. Every single one of them, limes, all of them. They taste totally different, don't they?
Yeah.
But they all came from three originally. They know that because people have done that. The bananas that you eat are not the bananas that grow in the forest wild.
Yeah.
You would not like a banana that grows in the forest wild. But see, God designed it to work a certain way, and He designed it that you could have some variation in it, that because He wants people to be creative and say, hey, what if I take this and mix it with this and these two things? But they're in the same category, the same family.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no different than how a black man and a white woman could get together and have a child. They look totally different. Praise the Lord. They taste totally different. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I don't know, just something. I wasn't thinking that, but I was just saying, you know, there's always some, there's differences, but because people generally taste different, don't they? They smell different. You got to taste different. I mean, I haven't gone around licking everybody, but I have smelled a lot of people. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? I was doing a reference to fruit, praise the Lord. But totally different, glory to God. Well, I'm glad that went over good. But totally different, but they still can produce a baby. Why? Because they're both of the same kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But you aren't going to get a dog and a cat to make a baby.
Right.
You just never will. They can cuddle, but they're never going to make a baby. It just ain't going to happen. They might like each other, but it ain't going to happen. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth, right?
Yeah.
Praise God, because He designed it to be a certain way. But God said that you got to work it my way. You got to work it the way I set it up. Because other than these rules, He put things in the genetic code to have variation, which is why we can have some humans that are tall, some that are short, some that are dark, some that are light, some that are in between. Praise God. Different hair colors. But it's all in our genetic makeup. It's all written in the genetic code for that to happen. Because God designed it that way. Amen?
Yeah.
So when we understand that, then it makes the rest of the things that we're going to get into here make that much more sense. Okay? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Mark 11:22. I'm sure you guys have never read this before. You've never heard this scripture. Mark 11:22. But now I want you to read these scriptures with a little bit different light. Because we just read Genesis. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the earth. God said, God said, God said, God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the earth.
Yeah.
Now we fast forward to when Jesus was walking on the earth. Jesus was walking along the earth, and he was hungry. And he was walking down this path with his disciples, and he saw a fig tree afar off, and it had leaves. And he figured, well, I'm going to go get some figs off of it. But he came up to the fig tree, and that fig tree wasn't bearing any fruit. It was showing him lack. It was saying, hey, you can't eat off me today. Praise the Lord. So what did Jesus said? He said, he addressed the lack. He spoke to the lack, and he said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. He addressed it. He didn't let the lack, he didn't just walk away going, well, what am I going to do? I don't have anything. He spoke. He spoke. He was teaching us to do something. The whole time Jesus was here, he was teaching us how to live. Everything he did, he was teaching us how to live and how to operate. He said, as I do, you do. You do what I show you to do. I'm showing you how to do it, but you do it. This is what God intended from the beginning. He told the Pharisees this. When they asked him about the law, he said from the beginning it wasn't so. God didn't want you to be divorced. It was never his will. But he did that because of the hardness of your hearts. But it's the same thing with everything else. He said God didn't intend you to live the way you're living. He intended you to live the way Jesus lived. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So Jesus cursed the tree. And they walked away. And then a few days later, they come back, or a day later, or whatever, they come back. And Peter says to Jesus, he said, look, the fig tree that you cursed is dried up from the roots. It's dead. Yeah. It isn't alive anymore. The lack that you came to the other day, in other words, is gone. It's gone. Yeah. Now, Jesus didn't say they're crying over the lack. No. He moved on probably to another fig tree or look for another one. Because he said, that one ain't going to produce it. Get rid of that, and I'm going to go find one that will. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So this is where we pick up the story now, or the account, is after Peter says that, and we pick it up here in Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Was he saying, why? Because God made that tree? No. He's saying, have faith in God in the way that he has created things. Have faith in God in the way that he has done things. Have the faith that God has. Understand what God has decided and the way things work. Have faith in that. When you have faith in that, then you wouldn't be surprised. He said, he's saying here, if you had faith in God, basically is what he's saying. If you had faith in God, then you would understand that, of course, when I spoke to that tree, this is exactly what he's addressing there, is their lack of faith. He's saying, if you had faith in God, you would understand that when I spoke to the tree, I knew that it was going to what was going to happen to it was going to happen, because that's why I said it. I don't just say what I want to say. I say what's going to be effective. I'm going to say what I need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have faith in God. Harken back to Genesis 1. He made man in his likeness, in his image, in his likeness, according to his likeness. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever, everybody says whoever, whoever, praise the Lord, says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Yes. Whatever he says. Yes. Why? Because God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. He made us in his likeness, in his according to his likeness, in his image, according to his likeness, so that we could say, and it would be so. Praise the Lord. Be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, let me throw this out there, because this is just something we got to think about. If you go up to a horse and you say, turn into a cow, and you believe it with all your heart, is it going to turn into a cow? No, because that's not the way that God created it. God put creative power in our hearts, but he didn't put things in our heart, or he didn't put the power in us to make things, take things out of order. Yeah. See, God wants things in order. He always wants us to put things in order. He wants us, when things are out of, the reason we have creative power is not so we can walk up to any given mountain and just say, topple into the sea, because that doesn't do anybody good. He gave us the creative power in our mouths so we can put our lives in order. Yeah. so we can put all things back into the order of what God has intended it to be. That's why you can speak to your finances, because God didn't intend you to be poor. So you can put your finances back in order with your mouth by speaking to it. You say, you look at it and you say, hey, wait a minute. This is the way that it's supposed to be, because this is what the Word says. You know what I mean? You see, people waste their time with trying to turn a horse into a cow and then say it doesn't work when it doesn't work. But see, that's not what God was saying. Jesus was not saying that every single thing you do, you can't go to your neighbor and say, may your ears grow so long that you can't pick your head up off the floor. And so heavy that you can't pick your head up off the floor. Because your neighbor made you mad. I don't know why that just came to me, but praise God, I just saw somebody's head being nailed to the floor with their ears. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying. But that's not what God intended by it. But He did intend certain things. And the biggest thing is, and this is what I really want to get to, is that we put in order. See, God is all about order. He's all about order. That's why you can't just worship God any way you want. That's why you can't just do whatever you want. You got to do things God's way, because when you do things God's way, then they are in order. Praise the Lord. We don't order our steps. It says that God orders the steps of a righteous man. Not your neighbor. Not your brother. Not your sister. Not your mother. Not your father. They don't order your steps. God orders your steps. If you get in line with His will. But God isn't ordering everyone's steps. How do we know that? Look how Christians live like fools. Praise the Lord. People think that they write songs by the Spirit and they write stupid lyrics. That's not of God. It's not of God. I'm telling you right now, it's not of God. Hallelujah. God did not intend us to say things that are unscriptural. But for some reason, humans just need, they feel this need to live in that. See, Jesus gave us the power to speak. God gave us the power to speak so we could keep things in order. Because there is an enemy coming who is trying to cause chaos and disorder. There's an enemy that was going to come to your life and say, you know what? I want this out of order. And this is why people move in together before they're married. Because they don't have the Word of God. That's not order. That's disorder. And you can't be fully blessed in that. Praise the Lord. You can't be. You got to get it right. Why? Because God wants it right. Yeah. Things work blessed in order. They don't work blessed out of order. That's why God put the same ability in our mouths, because we are the ones who are to have dominion. So we are to put things in order. Yeah. Yeah. I can't get off of that. Praise the Lord. It's good. Praise the Lord. It's good. Glory. Hallelujah. Matthew 12:33. Glory to God. You know, and before tonight, honestly, I never saw that before. I never saw that before about what he was saying there. God gave us that ability to put things in order, back in order. When they're out of order, we're the ones who are supposed to come in and put them in order. We're like the police. We're like spiritual police on the earth. We go around and say, nope, that's not right. Let's get that in order. Let's get that taken care of. Praise the Lord. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Is Jesus talking about fruit here? He's talking about you and me. Either the tree is going to be good or the tree is going to be bad, but you aren't going to have both. This is why conviction is a wonderful thing, because conviction will run bad fruit out of you. It will either run it out of you or run you away from God, and you'll just bear bad fruit. One of the two things. Because you can't stay sinning and be in the will of God. You can't knowingly be sinning. When God deals with your heart about something, you better take that seriously. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I said, when God deals with your heart about something, you better take that seriously. I got to fix this. I got to fix this. I got to change that or this. Praise the Lord. Then change it. Yeah. And if you have a hard time, then you go before God. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't happen automatically. Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you putting in? What are you putting in your heart? What are you meditating on? Are you meditating on the world stuff all the time? You're meditating on this. This is why people that get out of church are foolish. This is why they lose everything that God has intended for them. I mean, I'm telling you, because they start meditating on all the stuff out there, and then it's no big thing to just skip church. Yeah. It's no big thing to just. I'm talking about for dumb reasons.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about taking a vacation or something like that. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should do that. It tells us that there are times of resting. But you know what? We should be going to church and get built up. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, a lot of times at church, we got to deal with things that are wrong. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to clean up the church. He wants to put things back in order. That's why when he puts me in the pulpit and I'm going to listen to him or try to speak according to the direction he gives me, that's why it gets bold sometimes. That's why we hammer on things. We're not trying to knock people down. We're trying to get people cleaned up, put things back in order so their lives can be blessed. Because you know what? Surely people are going to come to me and say, you know what? I don't know why my kids don't serve God. And the reason is because they didn't serve God. Because they spent so many years back and forth, back and forth. Or how about this? Letting kids decide whether or not we go to church today or not. Oh, I love that one. Let kids decide whether or not we go to church. No, we tell our kids, you're going to church and you're going to like it. Praise the Lord. That's all there is to it. You don't give kids options to do things. You tell kids how it's going to be. You make them do it. And that's the way that it is. Dear Jesus, the Bible tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. And yet parents all the time are sitting there listening to their kids, getting the direction from them. How out of order is that, glory? Well, praise the Lord. I wish I was preaching this tomorrow. Maybe I will. Praise God. I don't know. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Praise the Lord. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Wow. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Praise God. By your words. Doesn't matter what you, I mean, is it so much even as important what you do, is he saying, by your words? It's by what you say, how you speak about God. How many people are going to stand before Jesus and they're going to get a lambasting because all they ever spoke about God was, well, God took this one and God did this. They're blaming everything the devil does on God. I am so ill about this. And you almost get to the point where, too, in the world, you almost get to the point where you feel bad that you got to constantly be correcting people. But the truth of the matter is this, God does not kill people. He isn't doing it. Yes, he has wiped out enemies and stuff like that, but he is not killing his people. He just doesn't do that. But people are so hung up on this. Well, it was their time. God called them home. God didn't call nobody home. Yeah, he receives them into his home. If they've been a Christian and they, you know what I mean, they love the Lord, he will receive them into the home, but he doesn't call them home. How would that make any sense? He wants us to have dominion on the earth. How are we having dominion on earth in heaven? We ain't doing it. How are we changing the lives of people down here if we're in heaven? We ain't doing it. How are we changing anything if we're in heaven? Remember the scripture I read last night in our Friday night service was that there's no, God doesn't get any praise in the grave. He wants people here praising him.
Yeah.
He isn't getting that if all his people are in heaven. All the good ones are in heaven.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. God isn't calling those ones home. It's dumb to think that. But Jesus, dear Jesus, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You're going to have what you say. You're going to eat what you say. You are going to eat it. You're going to eat it here and now, and you're going to eat it there and then. Hallelujah. That's the way it's going to be, because that's the way God designed it. Praise the Lord. Our words are important. What we say, what we believe, of course, is important. But what we believe is what we're going to say. Amen. Because ultimately, it's always going to come out that way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We're going to close here. John 6:63. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John 6:63. Look at this. Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The Spirit gives true life. The flesh doesn't profit anything from it. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. The Word of God is Spirit and it is life. If we want the right kind of life, we need to speak the right kind of words. We need to speak the words that God spoke. We need to speak the words that Jesus spoke. We need to speak to the situation. We need to speak to the mountains. We need to speak to whatever is not in order in our lives, and we need to change it ourselves. But what people are doing is they're sitting there praying to God, Lord, change this and change that. And he said, you change it. You change it. God isn't going to change it. He isn't going to change your situation. I said he is not going to change your situation. You will change your situation with what you speak, getting in line, using faith, and he will work through you. He will give you the strength to do it, but only as you opt in. Only as you opt in. See, this is what people, this is why so many people, they can't break addiction because they think that God has just got to take it away from them. No, they have to use their words. They have to speak against it. They have to decide to say no to it. Praise the Lord. Addiction of any kind. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm not just talking about substances. I'm talking about any kind of addiction. Addiction to bad thinking, which is something that is so prevalent. That's maybe the worst addiction that there is. People will think bad, think bad, think bad, think bad. They won't break it with their words. If you sit there and say, I'm miserable, depressed, sad, lonely, all these things, then that's exactly what you're going to be. Miserable, sad, depressed, lonely. You're going to have all those things manifest in your life because that is exactly what you're speaking. See, you have to speak the words that Jesus spoke. You have to speak words that are life. What are words that are life? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's speaking life. God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But see, you can't speak these things unless you're also doing them. You can't speak that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me if you won't go to church. Praise the Lord. That's why we need to get people, encourage them. Listen, you need to get in there. We don't have services just because it's fun to do. I'm going to tell you, on a nice night, there's nothing I would rather do than to do whatever I want to do.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. In my flesh, of course, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, I want to have barbecues just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But then, see, that's not going to profit me. That's not going to profit my flesh. It's the Spirit who gives life. That isn't giving us life to go out and go to parties and go to this and go to that and always miss church. It isn't profiting the flesh. It's not, the flesh is profiting nothing. The Spirit gives us life. Being in church will renew us. Being in sitting under the Word, hearing the Word being taught. But see, people do this. They get excited at first, and then they say, you know, well, I got caught up in this, or how about this? They get blessed, praise the Lord, and then they start living off the blessing.
Yeah.
And they don't trust God anymore. And so when they lose it, they wonder, well, maybe God didn't want it for me. And so then they preach things like this. They preach things to others. But it wasn't so. God has intended us to always be victorious. We're always, if what you're doing ain't working and you just are hitting the wall, maybe you need to do something different. Maybe you need to get before God and say, hey, Lord, what do I got to do differently? Maybe you got to ask God. Maybe you got to seek the Lord. But see, what we have to do is we have to get our speaking in line with the Word. We have to speak truth. We have to speak life. Because until we do this, we're not going to have the fullness of God. Until we speak right, we are not going to have the fullness of God in our lives. Until we look at the mountain, until we curse the lack, until we come against those things that are coming against us. Until we resist the devil. Oh, Jesus, we could go into another message right now. Until we resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? Do you see the devil?
No,
you don't see the devil most of the time. You ain't going to see the devil. You don't see the devil in his physical form. God isn't talking about arm wrestling the devil. He isn't talking about getting in the ring with the devil. He's talking about using your words and binding that fool, glory to God. He says, use your words and bind him. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Oh, there's so much lack in my life. I don't know what we're going to do. We never get ahead. You just loose that in your life.
Yeah.
And you loose it in heaven. God said, whatever you said in my ear, so I'll do to you.
Wow.
What are you saying? Well, I'll allow you to have what you want.
Yeah.
What you're going to say. You're going to be foolish and not speak right? Listen, there's power in your words whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
I said, there's power in your words whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
That's true.
Whatever you believe in your heart, that's you're going to speak. And what you believe, Jesus said, what you believe and what you speak. What you believe and what you speak, those two things, when those two things come together, oh, it's a hurricane. It can be a hurricane of life, but it can be a hurricane of death. But we decide what we're going to do. We decide how we're going to receive. Amen?
Yeah.